Now, may I move on to the 83rd Psalm. And this is a song of Asaph that we have here. And this is the last of the Asaph Psalms, and it concludes this series here of these Psalms that he has written. Now, this Psalm is a rather puzzling Psalm. The fact of the matter is, you cannot fit this into the history of the nation Israel. And certainly, since you cannot, why, the idea is to guess at it. And there have been some wild guesses, by the way. Let me read here. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Whoever the enemy is here, he hates God, and that would be true of any enemy. But they are marked here. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. In other words, these are some that have plotted the destruction of the nation Israel. Now, there have been those that have attempted to fit this in to the time of Jehoshaphat, and there have been others that have attempted to fit it in at other times. The important thing for us to note is that God expresses their hatred here of God, and I believe that that would be true of any enemy. Now, it says here, and they're identified now, and we begin this section here that it's difficult to fit it into history. For they've consulted together with one consent. They're confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, now that would be the Arabs, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. And the children of Lot would be, of course, Moab and Edom. Now you have here these enemies, and there's no place in history where you can fit this in. And that makes this, to me, a very remarkable section and has a real meaning because it would seem to indicate that it's looking forward to the future. And apparently, these nations that were in existence at one time will probably appear again. Now, Israel in the present state is surrounded by Arab nations, and actually not all of them are Arab, that are apparently joined together, not so much as Arabs, but as those that are Muslims. They're opposed to the nation Israel. But apparently in the last days, why, these nations will come back into existence, and they're not there today, and there's nothing to correspond. So I personally think that this is a very interesting passage of Scripture, and I wish I had time to deal with it farther. Now, from verses 9, actually through the rest of this psalm, you have that which is an imprecatory psalm. It's asking God's judgment, and it is a retrospect of the past. In this sense, he is saying, judge as you've done it in the past. It says, verse 9, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook Kishon. Now you go back and read the story in the book of Judges of how these nations were judged at that particular time. And there are those that say, oh, God will never do that in the future. He won't. He's done it in the past, and God hasn't changed, friends. If he's done it in the past, he'll do it in the future. And I think that is the reason this is impressive. He says, just as you judged them in the past, do it in the future. And this is an imprecatory psalm. I don't think we should pray this kind of a psalm today by any means. We're told to pray for enemies. Well, what should we pray? That they keep on being our enemies? No, that we pray they be converted, that they turn to God. But here, this is a call for judgment. And then he indicates here the method. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, like the stubble before the wind. You remember that great big wheel that the oxen pulled around? It would beat out the grain, and it really crush the stubble. And now he's saying here, deal with them like that. And then, verse 14, as the fire burneth a forest, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. But be like a forest fire to them. This is a call for judgment, you see. And then it concludes on this note, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. And that name, the Lord, is Jehovah, that the world might know. And I'm convinced that the only way that this world is going to know that God is God is for him to move in judgment. The goodness of God ought to lead men to repentance, but it doesn't. It should. And if men were at all sensitive to the presence and person of God, it would lead them, but it drives them actually farther away from God. And an affluent nation, when we were a frontier nation, pioneering and fighting our way across the West, we were dependent upon God. But today we don't need him. We have atom bombs. But it looks to me like right now we do need him.